Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Mark 11, verse 12, and this is what it says. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now to verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What a powerful, powerful scripture. I want to lift four words from the text for my subject this morning. Those four words are, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you have faith, and is it in God? You may be seated. Everybody has faith. Some trust in chariots, some trust in men. But it is faith in Jesus that saves us. Faith in Jesus that heals us, delivers us, guides us, instructs us. There was a commercial a few years ago, and they actually brought it back again. And it's a Geico commercial starring a caveman. And their slogan was, so simple, a caveman can do it. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul writes and says this, But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you that sometimes the greatest enemy of your faith is bad preaching and bad preachers, bad teaching and bad teachers. One of the things that preachers love to do is we love to create conflict within the text or within Scripture that is simply not there. And we love to make up problems. We love to create scenarios so that we can fix it in 20 or 25 minutes as we preach. I love what Bishop says. It's hard to cast out demons that aren't there. And a lot of times we stir up something that's just not there so we can cast it out to make ourselves look a little more higher or lofty than we really are. Can I encourage you with this, church, today? And I don't want to be naive to the fight that you're fighting, to what you're going through, but can I encourage you with this, that living for God and the things of God are just not that hard. It's not that difficult. Our mind likes to make it more difficult than it is. The very first thing that Jesus says to Adam and Eve is very simple. He said, I put you in a place called paradise. Everything you will ever need is found in this garden called Eden. The one thing that you cannot do is you cannot touch. I don't want you to look, but I definitely don't want you to touch and eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. It is very cut and dry. It is black and white. There is no gray areas. But how many of you know the adversary comes in and he likes to muddy the waters? He likes to bring confusion. He likes to bring division. He likes to bring the gray areas to where there is 50 shades of gray, where you don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way is right, which way is wrong. And so that's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve, is they're in a place that is very, very simple rules. That is the one tree that you cannot have anything to do with. But everything else in this garden is yours to have. And they failed. And so the same thing happens now. God gives us a command. God says, when you do this command, these are going to be the blessings that follow. When the blessings come into your life, if you manage those blessings right, you will never lack. You will never have want of anything in your life. And so it should be that easy. God says it, I do it, I receive the blessings, the benefits of doing it, and on we go to the next blessing, the next command that God has for us. But it's that little devil that likes to get in our ear and change things around and shift the word of God. And it's not God hath said. He takes away the period and puts a question mark, and now it's hath God said. Did God really say that? Is that what God really meant? And should you read between the lines? And maybe God's manipulating you, and maybe God's trying to keep you from something great. God's not trying to keep you from anything that's great. God's trying to get us to greater. But the enemy loves to manipulate our mind and play riddles and word tricks in our mind, and that's why we've got to be in the Word every day, so that we know what God said, we know what God spoke, we know what God has declared, and that there is no room for a question mark, because we know where God has put a period, that He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, not the beginning and maybe an end, not the beginning and I hope I can complete this. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So Paul said this, I'm worried that we would corrupt the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. The fig tree that we're about to study for the next few moments is basically a look into the spiritual expectation of God, that God expects us as believers to produce fruit. Fruit that produces other fruit and fruit that shall remain. That means that there should be enough fruit in our lives that we have enough to eat, we have enough to save, and we have enough to sow. Most people I know, if they produce any fruit at all, it's just enough to eat and to get them through the day that they're living in, but they don't have enough to save for a rainy day, or they don't have enough to sow for their next harvest. But I want to encourage the church today that God has given you the ability to create anything that you need by His word and faith in that word. That you don't have to live in lack. You don't have to live off yesterday's blessing. But here today, you can produce a fruit, and a fruit that shall remain and stand the test of time. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I think I probably preached from this text more than any other text in the Bible, because it's the first thing that Jesus says to man. Remember, the first thing and the last thing that someone says carries a lot of weight. This is what God said in Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. Verse 28, and God blessed them. Come on now. God blessed them. And then God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Before God ever speaks to you, you have to understand that He has blessed you. Before God ever requires anything from us, He has already blessed us with everything that He will ask from us. Meaning, if God asks you for something, you've got it in your house. You've got it in your life. God will never ask of you something that you do not have. I love that, because that means when God starts talking to Brandon, I can go ahead and put a check mark. Brandon has already been blessed with everything that I will need that God is asking or requiring of me to sow, so that I can get the fruit that shall remain that will produce other fruit. Are you tracking with me this morning? So God created us in His image, meaning we look like God. Come on now. That means we should walk like God. We should talk like God, meaning we should love the things that God loves. We should hate the things that God hates. And so now that I know that I'm created in His image and I look like Him, I sound like Him, I talk like Him, that means not only do I have His word, but I carry the authority that He carries. But then He goes on to say, not only do I want them to look like me, I want them to know that I have blessed them. Can I encourage you this morning with this fact? You are blessed. You say, Pastor Brandon, I don't have this, this, or this. I'm here to tell you, you are blessed. If you live in the United States of America, guess what? You're blessed. Most of the world would love to have what we call problems. We are blessed. If you slept under a roof last night and not under a bridge, you're blessed. If you ate, even if you ate Vienna sausages last night and not a T-bone steak, you're blessed. You say, well, I've got a little debt. You're still blessed. You say, well, I'm living in a rented house. You're blessed. I am blessed. And I'm blessed not because I have everything that I want. I'm blessed because I have everything that I need. Can I encourage you with this, that the blessing of God is not always what you want. The blessing of God is what you need, because if you have what you need, you can get what you want. That's the power of seed. That's the power of fruit. If you have enough, you have more than enough. You say, all I have is what's in my hand. All that's enough to plant in the ground to get you a harvest. You say, Pastor Brandon, I don't have a bank full. All I have is a handful. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you release the handful, when you plant that seed's going to produce a tree. That tree's going to produce 50 pieces of fruit. Within that fruit is going to be 10 more seeds, enough for you to eat, enough for you to save, enough for you to sow. So the first thing we have to understand is we're blessed. I'm blessed that I have everything that I need, because if I have everything I need, I have what I need to get what I want. He said, let's bless them. Let's make them look like us. He said, let's make sure that they're blessed. God bless them. And then this is what he goes on to say in verse 28, be fruitful and multiply. The first thing that God talks to man about, he says about man to himself, I'm going to make him look like me, and he blesses him. But the first words he speaks to Adam and Eve is this: you better be fruitful and multiply. Wherever I place you, you better be fruitful and multiply. And you say, well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. God knew exactly where you were going to be born. He said, where I plant you, be fruitful and multiply. When we look at this text, and we'll get to there here in just a minute, there's just a random fig tree in the path of Jesus that Jesus curses. Is it the fig tree's fault that it has not produced fruit? No, it's not. It's the landowner's fault that the fig tree has not produced fruit. But the blessing is cursed, not man. Let me say that again. The blessing is cursed. Now, God's not cursing you. We don't live under the curse. We don't live under the law. We live under Jesus. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And so we live under Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace. And so I'm here to tell you, as bad as your life may seem, God ain't cursed you. He might not be blessing you, but he has not cursed you. But in this fact, in the New Testament, he does not curse the man that owns the land. He curses the blessing and the fruit. And if the blessing is cursed, there is a ramification on the man. Can I tell you that sometimes the devil's not after you? Sometimes it's just that God can't bless you because you have not taken care of the ground, because the place that you plant better be ready to produce fruit when you need. So when you need it and the fruit is supposed to be there, you can go out there and pick something off the vine. So here we are. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Take dominion. God said, I'm placing everything you need in your hand to be fruitful, to produce fruit, fruit that will remain, and fruit that will begat or produce other fruit. Let's go to the text, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when Jesus and his disciples had come to Bethany, he was hungry. I'd never really thought about this until I was studying this out this week, that Jesus was hungry. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it shows his humanity. Jesus' stomach is growling. You say, what does that mean to me? Is that something I should shout about? You should shout about it, because it shows the humanity of Jesus. It shows how powerful the cross really was. That Jesus was just like us, all God, but all man. And his stomach is growling and he needs something to eat. And in the distance on his way into Bethany, he sees a fig tree. And fig tree leaves are big and green. And he sees the tree. And there is an expectation. I love this. There is an expectation of Jesus that the need that Jesus has, the thing that he is hungering for, he is going to have that need met when he gets to the fig tree. But when he gets to the fig tree, guess what he finds? A bunch of leaves, but no fruit. It looks good, but there's no substance. How many of you know some people like that? They're called 50-footers. From 50 feet away, they look beautiful. But when you get up next to them and you get to know them, they're ugly on the inside. They have no fruit. There is no production. Because how many of you know if you are tied into the vine as a branch, we should be producing fruit? That if we are in relationship with Jesus Christ like we say we are, there should be fruit. I tell young people this all the time, that I am not a judger. I don't judge. The Spirit judgeth all things. But I tell you what I'm really good at. I'm really good at inspecting somebody's fruit. And if they got good fruit, I want them to be a part of my life because it means they're connected to the vine. But if they have no fruit or bad fruit, I mark them and say, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with them because they have been disobedient to the very first thing that God commanded us to do, which is be fruitful and multiply. And so Jesus is walking and he's hungry and he sees this tree off in the distance and he sees that it has leaves and he comes if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And so the question that is begging to be answered is, why does Jesus have an expectation of figs out of season? Because Jesus' command to us in Genesis 1 did not mention seasons. It did not mention perfect circumstances. It did not mention when everything was going right. It did not mention when all of the things around you and circumstances were perfect for producing and growing fruit. This is what God said. Wherever I plant you, no matter what season it is, I've given you the power and the faith to be productive wherever you are. That is why Paul says, if you leave me here, he said, it's great, but if you take my life and send me to heaven, I'll be fine there. It's why David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the God that started me on the journey will make me fruitful in the valley the same way he made me fruitful on the mountaintop. It's the same way why David would say, though I make my bed in hell, Jesus is there with me. Why? Because when I go through hell, it's still no excuse not for me not to be productive. If you put me in any place at any time, Jesus, doesn't matter if it's fall, winter, spring, or summer, I'm going to produce fruit because that's what you created me to do and you've blessed me to do, and so that's what I'm going to do. If you have to have perfect conditions to produce fruit, you'll never produce fruit because you'll never have perfect conditions. Here in Texas, we've got two types. It's either too dry or too wet. There's no in between. It's either hot, hot, hot or cold, and a lot of that happens in the same couple of hours. And I've lived 37 years, and I've lived long enough to know that if I waited for my life to be perfect before I produced, I would never produce. That perfection does not cause production. Production brings us closer to perfection. That when I produce fruit, I am more like God than I've ever been. When I'm productive, I'm more like God than I've ever been. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me today? I'm telling you, you can go to a job that you hate and you can still be productive until God opens a door of promotion. That you can be the only one in your family saved and you can still produce fruit. Fruit that will produce other fruit and fruit that shall remain. Why? Because that's what God has called you to do. If you're living on this earth, God has blessed you to be productive. God is expecting to find a fig in your life that he can consume. What is God hungry for? Us and the fruit we produce. Isn't it amazing that when we praise God, that God breathes in that praise? That when we pray, God breathes in that incense? That God literally covets, God literally needs, God leans into to get all of that coming to him. And it's amazing to me that there is a farmer with a fig tree that Jesus, this should have been the farmer's day. This should have been the footnote to history that he was involved in. But instead of being involved in it, Jesus sees it and says, man, it looks good from so far away. But when Jesus gets close, he says, the one thing that I created them to do, they have not done. And that is to be fruitful and multiply. It's not the right season to produce fruit. When you study fig trees in Israel, not only do fig trees produce fruit once a year, they actually produce fruit sometimes as many as four times a year, four different crops of figs on these fig trees. It is nothing unusual for a fig tree in Israel to produce 10 to 11 out of the 12 months out of the year. If they produce 10 months out of the 12 months, that means every season, spring, summer, fall, and winter, there can and should be fruit on the vine. Can I encourage you today, do not make an excuse for your lack of fruit because of your season or your situation. God does not accept that excuse, because somewhere in the world there is somebody with the same set of circumstances that said, I'm not going to let my circumstances determine what kind of output I have. I'm going to produce wherever I am. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, have faith in God. Jesus answered and said, let no man eat fruit of this tree forever. His disciples heard it. Then they go into the temple. He flips over tables. He chases everybody out with a whip. And we catch up with the story in verse 20. And in the morning they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now this is something we love to preach. We love to preach. We don't have to wait 4 months until the harvest, that you plant and you reap, that the reapers catch up with the sowers, and that God does a quick work. But here's a quick work. Peter's astonished that the tree that Jesus cursed, in less than 24 hours, in about 10 or 12 hours, they come back and the fig tree is now withered. We don't shout about the blessing that is cursed happening quick. Doesn't even have a chance to produce fruit. They come back 10 hours later and it is dried up and it's withered away. And Peter, as they're walking by, Jesus doesn't even stop to give a eulogy to the dead tree. He says, that's exactly what I called it to do, because it would not produce fruit. And Peter said, look at this tree, Jesus. In 10 hours, you cursed it, and it's withered away. Jesus never broke his stride. He said four words, have faith in God. I didn't ask you about faith. I'm talking about the fig tree. I'm talking about fruit. Understand this. Faith and fruit are synonymous. If you say you have faith, then you better have fruit. If you talk a big God game, you better have something that backs it up. If you say that you've killed lions and bears, you better have the skins to show us. If you say that you've killed a Goliath or two, you better have their heads as trophies. Because there's a whole lot of people talking about their fruit, and you look good, but when we get closer to inspect the fruit, it's just a bunch of shiny, big, green leaves. But that's not going to work when the devil comes against you. You better have some fruit, because a fruit is a testimony of where God has brought me from, what God has done. It is a testimony of my faithfulness in any season of my life. And can I encourage you, no matter what you're going through today, you can be the productive believer that God has called you to be. Don't shrug your shoulders. Don't look down. Don't kick the dirt. Square your shoulders. Lift your head up from where your help comes from and say, I don't like where I am, but I'm still going to produce. I don't like where I am, but I'm still going to praise. I don't like where I am, but I'm still going to serve. I don't like where I am, but I'm still going to show up and worship and be the believer God has called me to be. Have faith in God. I was sharing with somebody last night. I'm one of the world's worst counselors. Not a very good confession for a pastor, but I'll say it like this, and I'm just making this statement. This is me now, okay? 99% of the people that I would counsel don't need counseling. 99% of the people that I would drop everything I'm doing to sit down for an hour with and talk to, they don't need it. Why? Because they've learned to produce fruit in every season. Most of the people I counsel with leave my office very sad because they expect me to work a magic act in 30 minutes that I can't do. Because this is the kind of stuff you're going to get from me. Well, we've seen you once since Easter. That probably has something to do with your marriage not working. Come on now. You don't serve. You don't give. You don't show up with consistency. Let's talk about your prayer life. Well, I don't pray. Well, that's a problem. Let's talk about your tithing record. Well, I gave $5 last month. That's a problem. Well, let's talk about praise and worship. Oh, I like when they sing that one song. That's the problem. Because people that are praisers, worshipers, givers, servers, they don't have time for all the problems of this world. And if a problem comes up, they praise it out, pray it out, worship it out, give it out. God rebukes the devourer. Why? Because they're productive people. Doesn't mean I won't counsel people. I'm just saying that they're very, very, very sad when I just tell them basically four words: have faith in God. If you have faith in God, you'll never question tithing. If you have faith in God, you'll never question worship. If you have faith in God, you'll never question baptism. If you have faith in God, you'll never question whether he heals now or whether that was just for the apostles. If you have faith in God, you won't question, do I have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? Listen, I love what someone said. Do you have to speak in tongues to go, or do you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. We got to move past, do I have to? It's part of being planted. It's part of my fruit. Listen, when I planted myself, I didn't get to choose the fruit that came. The fruit just started coming, and that fruit is healing, deliverance, power, authority, anointing. Why? Because I am a planted believer. And so when things are not going right, it comes down to the four words: have faith in God. Evidently, my faith is displaced. Evidently, I don't have enough faith. Evidently, my faith is in something else, something wrong, something that is not God. I want to encourage you today, every problem in your life can be brought back to faith. And when your faith gets right with God, every problem in your life will cease and desist. Everything that has ever risen up against me, I have not counseled it away. I have not gone to psychologists and therapists. I believe they have their place in society. But everything that has come against me, I have faith it away. I have faith it out of my life. When there is sickness that should not be there, or a report comes to my family, my wife, my children, I stand on faith in my God that what he has promised, that what I planted, that me coming Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, every tithe check I've ever written, every time I've lifted my hand in worship, every time I've bended my knee to pray, every one of those things, I'm planting myself. I'm putting down roots so that when the devil comes against me, I can say, not today, devil. You're not coming against some sapling. You're coming against one of the cedars of Lebanon. You're coming against an oak that got roots that run deep. This little hurricane's not going to blow me over. What you're coming against me with is not going to take me out. Why? Because I'm planted and I have faith in God. Whoa. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, have faith in God. A lack of figs is a faith issue. Verse 23, for verily I say, this after he says have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, somebody say whosoever, that doesn't mean anybody with no expectation. It means whosoever that has faith in God shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. How many of you know that you have speaking, you have mountain moving power when you speak? Cancer mountains, debt mountains, addiction mountains. And if you're like me, sometimes you speak to the mountain and it just stares right back and doesn't move. Why doesn't it move? Faith in God. A lack of it. Because this is what it says. Whosoever that has faith in God shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It doesn't end with a period there. The verse goes on to say, and shall not doubt in their heart. Your heart has to match your mouth. That's why people that say, I don't get with the name it and claim it and the blab it and grab it, I agree that you can't just say it and see it. There has to be a correlation and a tied together and a covenant between your heart and your mouth, that what I say matches what is in my heart. Because if I speak to a mountain and I say, move, get out of the way, this is not supposed to be in my life, I am a child of God, if my heart believes that and there is no doubt in it, the mountain has to move, doesn't get to talk back, doesn't get to negotiate, doesn't get to come back, doesn't get to clap back. None of that happens. The mountain has to move when my mouth matches my heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall, not might, not if, not could, shall come to pass. He shall have, man, I like that word, whosoever can have whatsoever. Whosoever can have whatsoever. I like the fact that he's ambiguous with this remark. Because the whosoever really doesn't matter. All that matters is faith. And so it doesn't matter if it's a young man or an old man, a black man or a white man or a woman. Does not matter. But whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, their mouth matches their heart, but shall believe those things which he shall say come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That means your faith declaration has to match your prayer life. Because you can't declare it on Sunday and then whine about it in prayer on Monday. Your prayer should not sound like, oh, Jesus, it's been a hard week, but you're so worthy to be praised. I didn't know if I could make it to Sunday, but here I am. And I'm just begging you, God, I need you to show up. That's not how you pray. You pray saying, God, I'm going to call those things that are not as though they are. You didn't die on a cross to save me, to leave me like this in 2019. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Greater are you that lives in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. To the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. The devil might have meant this for evil, but God is turning it to good. I declare my health in Jesus' name. I declare my wealth in Jesus' name. I declare my family saved. I declare my kids in their right mind. I declare my marriage strong. I declare my business prosperous. Whosoever says whatsoever, and he can have it when your faith mouth matches your faith heart. Stand on your feet. Woo! Jesus is not done there. Go to verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, therefore is a transitional phrase, meaning what I've just said gives context to what I'm about to say. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. We move past needs. And now we're talking about desires. Because when you're fruitful in your life, needs are no longer what you pray and believe for. I can't even re-preach what Jesse Duplantis preached. Buy the CD. What things soever you desire when you pray. You ever hear those old negative church folk, religious folk? They don't pray for new houses. Don't pray for prosperity. Why? Jesus said, whatever you desire, not what you need. It's not talking about clothes on your back and a roof over you. Whatever you desire, that means you don't have to rent all your life if you don't want to rent. When you pray, believe that you receive them, which means you have to say it and believe it before you receive it. That you receive, you shall. Somebody yell out, shall. You shall
have them. Jesus went flat 0 to 100. To just take you back 20 seconds to recap, Peter said, look at the tree. Jesus never breaks stride, says, have faith in God. Whosoever believes can have whatsoever. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall receive, and you will have them. I don't know what your whatsoever is today. All I know is that you're whosoever. And we've got a Jesus, a God with a name, that is waiting for you to declare something. But you've got to have a faith belief in your heart that what you say matches what you believe, and what you believe in faith, you're going to start declaring it, praying it, and you're going to begin to see it. I just prophesy these testimonies we're seeing, those four or five families that have been tremendously blessed in the first 2 months of this year, get ready. They're the first partakers, but there's some more families that are getting ready, because you're whosoever, you're going to talk about your whatsoever. And our God named Jesus, when you pray and declare, God himself, have faith in God. Pastor Brent, I need to talk to you about my situation. Talk to me about your situation. I'm going to answer you four words. Have faith in God. Because if you have faith in God, you'll pray, you'll praise, you'll worship, you'll do all the right things that are going to plant yourself so that you can produce fruit. You know what I love about fruit production? I don't have to depend on anybody else. I'm hungry. I got an apple on my tree. When I need something, boom, it's right there. Anything else is extra. It's icing on the cake. I want to open this altar right now for people with big dreams, big needs, something going on in your life. We're saying, Pastor, I need some fruit. I need something. Brother Eric, you're one of my favorite people to preach to, my friend. I love you, sir.